WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. Adoption has become the subject of romanticizing and reactionary rhetoric, according to my guest Jan Waldron. She says she wants to give an honest and emotionally complex picture of adoption. Waldron's great-great-grandmother, great-grandmother, grandmother, and mother had all abandoned their children or given them up for adoption. At the age of 17, Jan Waldron continued that legacy. She had a child out of wedlock and gave her away to a couple she knew. Waldron went to college, got married, had two sons, and was delighted to be a mother capable of keeping her children. 11 years after Waldron gave up her daughter, they made contact and in the intervening years have become very close. Jan Waldron and her daughter Rebecca Farrell are my guests. Jan Waldron writes about their relationship in her new memoir, Giving Away Simone. Waldron told me the story of how she reconnected with the daughter she gave away. Waldron's brother had maintained contact with the adoptive parents.
One day, a friend of my brother's told me that this girl, Rebecca, had asked her about her mother, about her birth mother, that she always knew that my brother was her birth uncle. And so she saw my brother as a link to me, and this friend who was with my brother, Rebecca just poured a chain of questions into her ear and wanted to know, what is my mother like? What does she look like? Who are my brothers? What are they like? And this friend reported back to me this, and I thought, well, I felt brave enough and strong enough, and I also felt that it may be time to bring my daughter to my sons. I always wanted her to be a natural part of their lives. I didn't want her to arrive later in their lives as this kind of familial aberration. I wanted them to have a natural course with each other.
And how old were your sons then?
They were 1 and 2.
Let me introduce your birth daughter, Rebecca, into the conversation. Rebecca, welcome.
Thank you.
Why did you want to find out what your birth mother was like, and why did you want to meet her?
Why did I want to find out what she was like?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I wanted to find out who she was because it made sense to me.
Did you know anything about her?
Yes, I did.
From the brother?
No. Oh, no. We never talked about that. In fact, the only time I ever approached him was when he had brought his friend, who was a little bit more easy to approach about these sorts of issues. My adoptive parents were very, very open and supportive, and they had said to me, you know, as far back as I can remember, that I would have access to her at some point in the future. And it was sort of this kind of, you know, serendipitous thing. It was just out there. It would happen at one point. And so I thought about it, you know, on a regular day-to-day basis when I was growing up.
Rebecca, how much of a mother did you want Jan to be? And what did you see her role as being compared to your adoptive mother's role?
At the time?
Yeah, at the time.
At the time, I wanted her to be as much of a mother as I felt she, was inherent in having given birth to me. You know, I felt that I wanted her to take that on, to take responsibility and be a mother in the same capacity that my mom was a mother to me, which I later discovered was not at all the way that it could or should or would work out. But at the time, I definitely I wanted to call her mom. I wanted to introduce her to my friends as my mom. I wanted her to, you know, provide certain rules for me. So, I definitely, in the real beginning, wanted her to mother me.
And Jan, how did you feel about that?
I did not feel comfortable with that. I was ever conscious of the fact that she had a mom, and I would never be her mom. I was mom to my sons. I felt very aware and protective of Rebecca's adoptive mother. It was a sacred relationship that her mother had with her from birth. And Rebecca took that as more rejection of her. So it got very complicated.
Well, Jan, did you speak with Rebecca's adoptive mother about the nature of your relationship?
No, and I wished, that's a regret of mine. I wish that we had communicated for whatever reason. I think we just trusted that we would continue to have the faith in each other that we had had from the beginning, which is bound by the fact that I gave them my child and they accepted my child. And we figured we would continue on that course of faith and hope and trust. But I do feel, had I to do this over again, I would almost insist that we communicate, that I would just ask questions like, what does she feel? What is she like? What are her allergies? Does she like spaghetti? Does she sleep at night? You know, how has she done? What was her life like the first 11 years? You know, those kind of questions. And so that's a part of this experience that I regret not having.
My guest is Jan Waldron, author of the memoir Giving Away Simone. Also with us is the daughter Waldron gave up for adoption, Rebecca Farrell. We'll be back after a break. This is Fresh Air. Back with Jan Waldron and the daughter she gave up for adoption, Rebecca Farrell. Rebecca, I'd like you to read a letter that you wrote to Jan in 1989. How old would that have made you?
19. Okay. I guess.
And this is when you thought that the relationship was at a crossroads. And you wanted a different kind of love, a more maternal love than mm-hmm. you felt Jan was really providing you.
Mm-hmm.
Would you read the excerpt of the letter for us?
Jan, nobody told you that babies were supposed to cry when they're hungry, when they need their diapers changed, or when they need to be held? How much thought did you put into it? Really? I realize that the majority ruled against keeping me and that you were young and scared, but I find it hard to believe that with your girl's Latin school intelligence, you didn't know that babies cried. You said to me once, or maybe twice, that you would listen to whatever I had to say as long as there was no meanness. Well, I'm sorry. I feel mean. I have parents and I love them very much. You carried me for 9 months. You felt my first breath. Without you, I would not be here. I love you more than anyone or anything in this world for that. I loved you that much before I met you. It wasn't until I met you that the resentment set in, seeing your graceful and strong arms that didn't hold me for so much longer.
You know, I guess, Rebecca, when I was reading this letter, I was really trying to understand why you held it against your mother in such a personal way that she gave you away, that you couldn't understand at all the predicament she was in as a 17-year-old, not really understanding.
Well,
what the right thing to do was.
Inherent in your saying understand means that it's a cerebral action, that you think about it. The feelings that I have about her giving me up are really instinctive and visceral. You know, it's a kind of gut-wrenching pain. You know, I can understand and intellectualize it as much as I want to, but the pain is still there.
Jan, there's a letter I'd like you to read that you wrote to Rebecca.
Okay. Rebecca.
And tell us when this is dated.
This is August 25th, 1989. Rebecca, you have systematically trashed whatever vulnerabilities I've expressed to you. What I have shared in trust has come back at me in my face, whether it was when I expressed sadness or when I told you about my feelings at 17. And of course you damned me for not loving you deeply enough or unconditionally, like other people in your life. I have realized how bullied I've allowed myself to be by you. I have been trying to leap through flaming hoops to validate my love when none of this should have been asked of me, much less attempted by me. We have found ourselves on a treadmill, replaying tired themes, so it is freeing for me to know that this part of our relationship is over. I do not agree that I can help you anymore. The work left to be done is your work. I think I would get in the way. I feel you must face much of your confusion on your own or with the help of an objective third party. The source of the problem, me, cannot assist in the resolution of it. Doesn't mean I'm not available for talk, letters, whatever. But my efforts have been unproductive and redundant. You are always welcome here. You know that. Love, Jan.
I guess what interested me most in that letter is when you were talking about everything you were trying to do to validate your love, and you say, when none of this should have been asked of me, much less attempted by me. What were you thinking then about the nature of your relationship and whether you'd gone too far in trying to become too close and trying to be the mother of a daughter who had adoptive parents?
I think when I wrote that, I wasn't thinking that necessarily, but simply that my love for her at that point should speak for itself and that her love for me should do the same. And wasn't that enough? And that it seemed like the more I gave, the more I was asked to give. And I always did feel that, I always just felt very aware of her parents, and often felt, you know, she has two mothers when I have none, and how lucky she is. But she didn't feel lucky.
I guess, you know, I was thinking when I was reading this book that during the teenage years, so many mothers and daughters have their flare-ups, mm-hmm. birth mothers and their daughters. Do you know what I mean? That
yes.
That love in the parent-child relationship doesn't mean automatically accepting each other's actions as being wonderful. I mean, there's so much criticism in the parent-child relationship, particularly during the teenage years, when the teenager's really down on the mother. Mm-hmm. The mother's trying to kind of discipline the teenager and bring him up on the straight and narrow and everything.
There's no question. And had I known, I mean, that it's part, you know, I write about that, it, you know, that to inherit an 11-year-old girl is one thing. To inherit one that you haven't brought up is quite another. And then to face the reasons why it is that you haven't brought her up. But 11-year-old girls are on the cusp of being really repulsive. You know, they're difficult, and for all the hormonal, social reasons. And so there she was. So it was all of that combined with our circumstance and our history or lack thereof.
Rebecca, was there a turning point for you where you came to accept that your birth mother gave you away, for better or worse, that she kind of suffered over that decision for all the years afterwards, and that you should move on and take it from there?
Yeah, there was a turning point after one of our impasse lapses of getting along. You know, every couple of years we'd have these big fallouts. One summer I stayed in my uncle's house, and he and I sat down and talked, and it had been really the first time that I'd heard the story from him, someone who had so much love and protectiveness towards Jan. You know, he really told the story of my adoption and my circumstances in a very sort of sensitive and core way, and I all of a sudden thought, you know, wow, you know, this is really an incredible thing that she went through, and it really was very difficult, and I can't begin to feel what it must have felt like to be in her shoes, but I can certainly start thinking about it, you know, certainly start integrating that memory into the way that we deal with each other.
How old were you?
I was 20. 20, yeah.
So you were, at that time, 3 years older than she was when she had you.
Right, mm-hmm.
What's your relationship like now?
Good. Comparatively blissful.
It is. It's,
yeah.
It's really good. Rebecca and I think we've come to this point where we do accept that everybody, every family has issues, right? I mean, there are a few that do not. In fact, I believe there probably are none. But we do we have a chronic family issue, and that family issue is that I gave her away. And that doesn't mean that we don't have peace or relief from that or joy, which we certainly do. We have all of those things. But it's a problem that's never going to go away, and there's no reachable resolution. So we live with this.
But we're still family.
But we are family, and it's a family issue.
Jen, when you gave your daughter up for adoption, you knew the adoptive parents.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that knowledge, you and your birth daughter were united
mm-hmm.
years later.
Right.
What do you think now of the idea of open adoption? A lot of people, for better or worse, would never have the kind of emotionally complicated story that you and Rebecca have now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think some people might almost feel glad that they are protected from the complexities of the relationship and the ambiguities of the relationship.
Fine.
And the demands of the relationship.
Okay, but that's life. You know, for that is part of life. That is, loss is part of life. It's part of the facts. By keeping it closed and buried and quiet and unspoken does not change the facts.
And it's part of the adoptive process, really. I mean, you really can't adopt a child, somebody else's child, without allowing them the option to know who made them. I mean, it just doesn't seem right. Well, that's not the right way to say it. It doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't seem natural at all. And it seems so dishonest to think that you could take this child from somebody else and raise it as if it never had any history or came from anywhere except from the sky, which is a very fraudulent way to start your life.
We heard from Jan Waldron and her birth daughter, Rebecca Farrell. Waldron is the author of the new memoir, Giving Away Simone. Simone is Rebecca's former name. This is Fresh Air.